discussion of God's plan for the church. And Dean reviewed the overall plan 2 weeks ago, what the church is and its purpose as God has planned it. And then Mike reviewed the strength of the church in unity and to perform that plan. And we were designed, he said three things, and if you remember them, it was, we were designed to be together. And so that's where he talked about being, that the church was not the building and so on. In fact, if you remember the sign, it said, don't go to church. What was the thing that ended? Don't go to church, but be the church. Very good. We were to grow, we grow more by being together, and we reach more by being together. So our smallness is our strength. And this is kind of about being together, but in the wonderful area of trials. And that's the title today, is When the Going Gets Tough. And Dean will finish up next week with the tough go to God. And we'll try not to preempt too much of that or steal some of that thunder. So, but why do we need to stay together in trials? Why should we do that? Because it is tough out there. Jesus promised that it would be tough, and he said that. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus tells us that if we stick with him, we will never have any problems anymore. No, that's not what he says. He says, no, you're going to have troubles. In fact, they may increase. They may be worse. If you're going to be with me, you're going to walk with Jesus, you will have trouble. If you don't walk with Jesus, you will have trouble. But there is no promise that he takes away that. He says, he does say that in the midst of it, you will have peace. Well, how can that be? He promises it, and he says, the going will get tough, so what do we do? So what do we do in these trials? What do we do in these trials as individuals? You know, several of us have had trials recently. I know I am in the midst of several, and I know some of you are as well. But I'd like to review that more in three different areas, and not just how do we deal with trials as individuals, which was we tend to talk about, but also as a family. When you, as an individual family, or as individuals within a family, your own family, how should you deal with those? And then as a church, how should we deal when trials come, when we're maybe persecuted, or what happens there? So why don't we get ready to turn in your Bibles, because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your loving kindness towards us, that you give us blessings, that you give us trials, and that we are to consider it all joy. Lord, what does that mean? What does that really mean? And I ask that you would show us this morning, by your grace, what you have for each one of us as individuals, as families, and as a church. In your name, amen. So, as an individual, what is a trial that an individual might face? Some of you are very familiar with them. So, sickness, car trouble, work trouble, persecution, loss of what?
Job.
Loss of a job. That could be a work trouble, not having work. Finances, relationships. There are many, many different ways that trials can rear their head. Trials are things that happen to us that are distressing and painful, and a normal part of life. That is normal. Sometimes in America, we feel like something's wrong if we have trouble. Like, we've done something wrong, or we haven't led our life in the right way. Everyone has troubles. There are things that happen to you that you can't control. If you live and breathe, you have, are having, or will have some problems in your life. In fact, did talk some years ago called 100 Problems a Day. And it's been estimated that that typically every but one of us has about 100 questions or things we have to solve a day. We just don't know about it. And that brings it down to, should I use, you know, Crest or Colgate or stuff like that? Those might not seem like problems, but they're really things we have to solve, right? and some are more bigger, you know, just thing or systemic. They're things that we have to deal with on a long-term basis or are very traumatic, like, for example, a flat tire or a sickness or being robbed or something like that. Some appear random. Others may be due to poor choices we make. Some appear very well planned and orchestrated by God. Thanks, God, right? This is what keeps us strong and alive, is what we're going to talk about today. God knows we need challenges to keep us growing and moving and is preparing us for something to come. This is our keynote verse today. We talked about this in teen group a couple days ago, and this was also a talk that Tom Brown did in Faith Walkers. And we can kind of hit it. Oh, yes, you're considered. Let's just read the verse first. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. We've heard this many times before, and it's usually given as a way to, you know, just do this, right? But what does it really mean to do these things? There are three directions given. Now, it may look like there's two, but there's really three. It's consider it all joy, and we'll talk a little bit about what that is. Let endurance do its job. Let it work on you, right? And let endurance finish, right? That you may have be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. What that means is don't bail out. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. When I think about my own trials, I think about my recently, you know, I was thinking about individual trials and trials we've had as a family and then trials as a church. So when I think about my own, I think about my own sickness, and it was particularly from, it seemed like, you know, this whole last winter, I know for a lot of you it was this way, but I've never been this sick in a long time, since November to just a few weeks ago. I felt like I had one cold after another, or flu, or this horrible, it seemed like it was just one virus after another. It seemed like they were working together too, like they kind of got together and says, all right, we're really going to let them have it this year, you know, and however they, you know, whatever meetings they have, you know, they decided to attack us all. But I felt like it was very difficult because we also had to do ministry, we also have to go to work, and we also had other things that are going on in our life, and I was like, God, why are you allowing all this to happen? I wanted out. I didn't consider it all joy, you know. Oh yes, I consider this all joy. Yeah, you know, another tissue goes into the trash can, and I wanted out. I begged out. You know, I was looking for outs. But what did I learn from that struggle? So I kind of wrestled with God, Lord, why am I so sick here? And I was wrestling with God in this, and I found out that I still have my own plans for my life that are in the way of God's plans. Like, wow. You know, you cannot do this right here if you've got your own agenda. That's what I learned. You cannot have an agenda that concludes with you being on the pedestal. That's what I learned from all this, is it can't be me on top at the end. It's got to be him on top. And, you know, Christians can use Christianity, and I'm a Christian, so I'm part of Christianity. Christendom can use Christianity or Christendom as a platform to promote themselves. Let's just get it out there, right? Because it's a big group. Big groups mean crowds, and crowds mean fame. It can mean that. And I had to come to terms with some of that for myself. You know, being the best, on top, spotlight on you. That'll be exposed by this process. Isn't that great? It's kind of like if you work out, and you notice this is a racing track in the back may not be able to see it, but racing or running really gives a good picture, and it's used at least once in the Bible, maybe a couple times, as a picture of what this life is. It's a long-distance run. It's a marathon. It's difficult, and it has difficulties in it. But who gets the prize? Is it your prize or is it God's prize? And if it's all about you, we will get. And if we say, I'm going to follow you, Christ, well, then you're going to get spanked or disciplined. And this is sometimes how he does it. And that's what I learned. And this is a hard truth, that verse that kind of comes out. You know, he says in Hebrews 12:6, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, scourging means specifically to whip. You know, that's what they did to Jesus. It means to whip and or to cause great pain to. That's what the term means. That's what scourging means. Why on earth would you do that to someone you love? Why do we discipline our children? Because we love them. We don't want them to go in the wrong direction. That's what discipline does. It's not as bad as getting into life and thinking you are the center of the universe, because you'll find out some way that you're not. And that's what this is for. What does he do to the people he doesn't like is what I have to think after this verse. I don't know if I signed up for this. He calls me a son. I'm adopted in, but I don't know if I wanted that. Like I said, I like to receive Christ because I wanted to receive eternal life. But if we really want to follow Christ now, make him Lord of our life, given what he has done, this is the message. You must die. You must go through this process. John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease. And thus he died. This is what trials do. Help us understand that if we say, I want to give my life for you, say it with the group, in fellowship, in prayer, in praise, we say that and we sing it, well, this is what it means. This is what trials do. Help us understand. They help us understand that if we say, I want to give my life for you, you are giving your life. Your dreams, your visions of the future, comfort, and your plans. He is Lord, right? So he says three things here in that previous verse. Consider it all joy. Well, why? He disciplines those he loves. Thanks, right? He's preparing you for tougher stuff. And notice it says, let's go back to that verse. I'm going to go back to it. Consider it all joy. It doesn't say you're jumping up and down like some maniac. Woo, look at me. I'm under trial. It says consider it as if it was joyous. You know, those of you who maybe go to the gym or run or anything like that, what's the joyous part? It's when you're done. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, and you feel good, right? Oh, man, that was great workout. That was great work. Going into it, you don't think that. It's like, this is going to be a great workout. I know I'm going to feel great going in or after it's all done. You might think that. Think I will feel good after I'm all done. While I'm doing it, I don't feel good, right? It's difficult. But it is making you stronger, and you can feel that it's making you stronger physically. And whatever it is in your discipline, it is whether you're studying for a test, you feel like I'm ready for this test, right? I'm ready for the actual test when it comes. In some ways, the studying is harder than the test itself. And whatever it might be, whether it be a trial about our character or whatever it might be, it's once you get to the end, you're like, wow, now I see why that was such a good thing. It feels better. And that's when I came out of being in that sickness, I felt, besides feeling better, I felt like, wow, I learned something about myself that I didn't want to learn. But I feel better, much better. So what is he doing when we say consider it all joy? He says think about it as if it was joy. Going into the workout is tough, but coming out of it is great. And you feel so much better. Going to ministry like Awana, starting is tough, right? But when you see the smile on that child's face saying, I want to be here with you doing this, this is changing my life, that feels great. That's the glory. That's the joy. It is joy. It is tough, but it yields a joy and a peace that beyond understanding. It is joy we would never know if the tough things were never occurred. So wouldn't it be just joyous to sit in front of our television? You wouldn't really think about joy that way. It's like, no, you're just existing, bleh, right? He says even embrace, some say embrace joy. Embrace it as if it's joyous. Embrace this pain, this trial. That's very, very difficult depending on what it is. But that's what he's saying. That's what James is saying. That's the Lord saying. And there's other verses that say this very same thing. Act as if it's a great thing. It's joyous. The next thing it says is, where I actually talked about this, consider it all joy. The next thing is, let endurance do its job. This is not sitting in a corner, eating worms, feeling sorry for yourself, which I definitely felt like. You know, when you're sick, boy, you're like, I hope. There are times where you're like, I think death would be okay. You know, I might feel better. And particularly when it's day after day after day and it never lets up. You know, like a couple day cold is nothing, but when you're really in that, oh my gosh, this is now 3 months of this. And you start feeling sorry for yourself, but that's not what this is talking about. Endure it in that way. It says, I wanted to just get out when I was feeling sick. I wanted to run away, but I thought, Lord, it finally gets it. It says, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to get out of this? And it gave me an opportunity with people, at least one example is at work, to show his character in the midst of a trial. And so often people come in, other people were sick, and they would go, man, like that. You knew who had it, right? When they come in, hey, how's it going? It's terrible. We're all sick, man. Why are you even here? And this is what, at least is what I hear, is like, man, doesn't life, and this is even funnier when they sound like this, so it's, doesn't life suck? What? I can't even understand what you're saying, but I'm sure it was bad. It stinks, right? No, it doesn't, because I have Jesus. That's different. It's like, what? It says, I have Jesus. No, I said like that. I can't think that. Like that. So, because of who I know. I know whom I have believed. And that was a testimony to others. You know, why are you even here? Why are you doing this? Why can you keep this joyous view of it? See, that is a testimony to others who don't know Christ. It's like, what does this person have that I don't? If your commentary on life is, doesn't it suck? Then, about everything in your life, then you don't get Jesus. You don't get Jesus. He said, this is when it really was bad for him. I'm not going to show you the verse, I'll just read it to you. And he went, this is right before the crucifixion, what he was going to face. Now, if anybody else could say, you know, forget it, man, whatever. This is what he says. And he went a little beyond then and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. That's about as close as he got. Yet not as I will, but as you will. This is your will. It is tough. Yes, but that is life. And that is hard to comprehend. If comfort is life, then all comfort leads to death eventually. This is your will, Lord. That's what we're really talking about here. Let endurance finish its job, and don't bail out. And we can bail out in a lot of different ways. At least I have, and maybe you have better ways than I do. But emotionally, like you stop my relationship with people. You know, you kind of like, I just want to get away from people. That'll stop the pain, right? Or spiritually, I stop my relationship with God. And, but even the worst one is, excuse me for tying my shoe, is stop my relationship with me. And what does that mean exactly? So is it's so bad that I just can't even stand me anymore. Can't even be in my own skin. I'd rather just end it all. That's really taking the big leap out. And he says, don't do that. Let endurance finish it. Don't check out. Embrace it and use it for glory, for his glory. Ask him, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? What do you want me to learn? What are you wanting to chisel away? We were talking about, you know, Greg Girard and I were talking about chisel away. And Earl, what about, what is he trying to make? What type of masterpiece is he trying to make? You may say, I want out, but not my will, but your be done. You can say, Lord, I do, this is bad, and I would like to really be out. This is painful. This really hurts. It hurts. It really hurts. But not my will. Your be done. And we were talking about this morning. What does it really mean? If you say, not my will, but your will be done, okay, that's a big deal. This is a quote that I liked Tom Brown shared from William Barclay. He says, endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. How do I know this is his will? How do I know that this is what God really wants for me? Well, he says it a couple places. This is one of them. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Trials are not something to live through, but to live in. Not to just make it through the day. I hope I can make it through the day. You ever think that? I just need to make it to 5 o'clock, and then I've made it. That's not living. That's in just getting through. And I don't want to get through life. I want to live it. And living it is painful. And that's okay, because at the end is glory. So that's as an individual. What about your family? Whatever your family might be. And this is Joshua speaking. He's talking about to Israel. And he says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And he's really basically laying it on a line. Okay, what are you going to choose here? Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He's basically talking about all the idols. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this is a statement that Joshua made. And the reason I like about it is because it really involves his whole family. Me and my house, my household. His family stood in relationship to serving God. And you've probably made something similar with regard to yourselves or your family. In the same way, each of our families or households have made that same statement and may make it daily in relation to things we involve ourselves in, like ministry, church, prayer, togetherness. The strength of the church relies on this. The strength of the church relies on the strength of the family. The family unit was created long before, was defined and created before the church was created, and the church was later than created and defined because the family existed, because the family unit was there. So in the same way, we as individuals face crisis and trials, so does our family. They will. I can guarantee it. Sometimes we are there are the daily schedules, getting kids to everywhere they need to go, right? There's the car trouble. You lose a vehicle, that can be a crisis. I can tell you right now, it is for us. You know, I remember Janelle asked me one time, don't worry about tracking my schedule, Dad. I don't want you to worry about that. You know, you're worried about so many things. And I always said, I'm not really worried about your schedule. I'm worried about where the car is. right? More. Not that I don't care about her more than the car. You know, make that clear. I just want to know where the car is so I can take her to where she needs to go. Yeah. So, whatever it is, these are trials that you might face all the time. There's internal trials. There's financial trials. That happens all the time. Relationships inside and outside the family. There's school and church and work and other families and sickness. For us as a family, you know, many, you know, our daughter's long-term sickness. And that has been really a great trial. That's like the second tier in our trials. So if I look at individual trials, it was for me my sickness for a while. So as for our family, it's really been Janelle's sickness and for the past several months. So what do I do in the midst of that? You know, I'm not going to go into the details of it because others have sickness too. They have other trials. What have we been doing, or how do I deal with that? And I can't say I've been perfect in it all the time. But he says, what does he say to do? Here, it's the same thing. Well, look, it's the same verse. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, my brethren, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If your family stands for God, or whatever your family is, you will, even as individuals, you will have trials individually and as a family. Can guarantee it. If you live this life, that'll be the way. Because Satan wants you, take you down individually and as a family. That's what he wants. You are messing with his turf. He don't like it. How do I know that it is his turf? 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So when I look at our family's trials, this being one of them, I think it gets even harder. I think it's harder because it is not me. I think it's easier if it's me. If it was just me, I think it would be better. But when it's my child, and those of your parents can know that, when it's your child that's hurting, that's worse. At least for me it is. I think it hits home. It helps me understand Abraham when God asks him for his son. Would you be willing to give up your child for God? A member of your family for God? And I feel like I've been asked that question. At least I've struggled with that. And my answer is no. She is mine. I told him, you can't have her. How arrogant. But Mike, I think that's initially when I got into this with him. But Mike reminded us last week that all of it, our stuff, our family, all of it is his. Keith Green had a song. He says, I pledge my head, I pledge my wife, I pledge my son. I don't know if it's in that order. For the gospel. And later he pledged his very life. He died in a plane crash. So what does it mean when we say our house, we will serve the Lord? That means your family is not first anymore. That's what I really had to come to terms with. If you really mean this, we will serve the Lord. If it means we will be a nice Christian family only, but beyond that, forget it. Deep down, we're still holding on to all of our stuff, all of our relationships, everything that we think is ours. And that was what the Lord has been exposing me in. And he will expose you. It's the way he is. If you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, this is how it's going to be. What do we do when the car blows up? Our child rejects God. We have that fight with our spouse. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We consider it all joy. Oh, I sound like a broken record. Let endurance do its job. It makes you stronger as a family and the families that will come after you. It's not just your family anymore. I realize it's families yet to come. You will be made stronger, and you are laying the foundation for your grandchildren. Don't run away. Don't give up. For those who are yet to be born, if the people, those settlers, had not crossed the West, we would not be here, right? Should they have given up? Boy, it would have been a lot easier if they just stayed home. But they endured it for something better. There's many, many examples of that. Think about your own legacy, your own grandparents, and maybe the parents before them that maybe came to the United States. Those that went over the water, some of them perished, right? Do you wish they had not done that for you? Do you wish that the veterans those that fought in the wars had not fought those wars? It would have been so much easier. Don't you run away. Your time has come. I don't want to run away. Don't give up for those who are yet to be born, for a nation yet to be in existence. So as a family, here's some recommendations for you. And these are the things we just said. Don't run away. As a family, here's some recommendations for you. Thank him. Pray. Do ministry together. Talk about how each of you feel, particularly if it's a tough trial. How are you growing or not growing? What are you learning? What do you feel? Why is it painful? That really helps. Don't run away from each other. Come together. Our tendency, particularly with personal electronics, is easy to go hide in a bedroom. Come together. Don't downplay another's pain. Why aren't you considering it all joy? That would probably be bad. Don't downplay one another's pain and be unified in the one to whom you say you serve. Finally, as a church, we have experienced trials. We know that. In the early 90s, this church had a schism of sorts. Leaders left to do other ministries and then left a pretty big void in our leadership, which Satan tried to wedge in a large spike of discontent. Several people left to start new church plants, but that didn't work out. So we started with just young kids, young adults, and kids. That's all we had. Just young kids. We started Awana, bought a building, affected hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have come through these doors or come to that we have affected for Christ. Many have come and many have gone, but by God's grace, we're still here. We're still here. And we have had many trials as a church. More than some, less than others. Always have financial trials. Always miscommunication trials, relationship trials, persecution trials. Some might look and say, well, is that success? Are you successful? God does not tell us to be successful as a church, but be found doing what he commanded. He doesn't say, I'm going to come in and see I'm going to look at your financial statements and Quicken and QuickBooks and see how that's going. If you've got a lot of money in there, then that's what I really wanted. Or, you know, how many noses you got sitting in your pew? That's what I really wanted. You don't see that at all. It says, may you be found doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when we're out of money, or people leave, or persecutions come, what are we to do? This is a different verse. It says the same thing as the James verse. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Consider it all joy. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. There's that word again. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Like the individual, like a family, we as a church need to join together when trials come. Not point fingers and blame, but unite, as you guys have been doing, like an army does. Our enemy wants to destroy us, and he will try and use those times of trials to do that very thing. In this verse, it uses words like, look at it carefully. It says, our, we, us, our hearts, Holy Spirit given to us. This is talking about the church and the individuals in the church. Mike said last week that the church is a body, and when one is hurting, we're all hurting. We saw that played out a couple weeks ago. We'll see that anytime one of us needs help, the church mobilizes the body to perform the function during trials. We rejoice in that suffering, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing in our suffering, and rejoicing with those who rejoice in the church, that the church as a body can come out so much stronger, so much better, fulfilling its purpose. It does so much better when it's doing what it's supposed to. Stronger in character, hope, producing a stronger body that's not just a bunch of people, but people that are deep in character. The church is functioning fully when it is under fire. Throughout history, right, we see the church grows when persecuted. Absolutely. There are numerous historical examples of that. That's happening now in China. It's because she gets stronger when during the trials bearing down on her. Oops. Matthew 16:18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Her walls cannot be broken. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against her, because who are we promised to? Christ. And he won't let that happen. So as a church, what do we do when things seem hopeless, torn down, broken, and painful? It says, rejoice in our suffering. We pray, encourage, heal, and give thanks. Let endurance mold the character of the church. Just do ministry together. Talk about how each of you feel about that trial. How are you growing or not growing? What are you learning? Kind of similar to the family, because a church is like a family. And don't run away. Don't run away from each other. Don't downplay one another's pain. And be unified in the one whom you may say that you serve. In this verse, it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Oops. Got to keep remembering to do my PowerPoint. So, in closing, we talked about the individual, trials through an individual. What is it? Consider it all joy, and let endurance do what it's supposed to do, and let it finish. And the same thing with your family and with the church. Do those things. Finally, I want to close with this in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, but be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Let's pray, and we'll have the music team come up. Lord, thank you so much for your encouragement. Lord, help us to consider it like a party when we're under trials. That's hard to do, but I ask that you would help us. Lord, help us to see the light at the end of the tunnel and help it to be for your glory, both as individuals, as a family, and as a church. And we do pray that for this church and for all the churches in our area. In your name, amen.